Nebraska men's basketball at home, riding a 4-game winning streak. Maryland has won 5 out of 6. Huskers without Bear K. Maryland with a pretty dominant big in Derek Queen, who Nebraska actually played well against the last time these two met in College Park. Maryland being one of the double play teams for the Huskers this year in the massive 18-team Big Ten. What are you looking at when you see this game tonight and the opportunity for Nebraska not to necessarily make themselves a lock in the Big Ten tournament, but to probably increase their odds greatly if they were to move to a 5-game winning streak right now?
Yeah, I think, well, the first thing I'm looking at, Caleb, is how this game's officiated. And that's not trying to be sarcastic or trying to, you know, cry over the spilled milk or anything like that with some of the calls that didn't go Nebraska's way that they were able to still overcome in that victory against Ohio State. This is when you're out with one of your premier big men, and what Bjelken-Gjell was able to do really leading up into that victory against Ohio State, playing at such a high level that all of a sudden you're down a big body against a very large front court. The one thing we know Nebraska's guards are able to do is they'll collapse down. They'll dig at the basketball. If they're able to do so, and even if there is maybe a little bit of contact, but for the most part, it's going unnoticed unless it's totally obvious. I like Nebraska's ability to adjust and throw some different things at Maryland, even without Berke in there. But if this game is a little bit more touch foul driven that we've seen, not just in the Big Ten, but in college basketball, where it can get a little bit inconsistent, when you're down again, another guy like that, like with Berke, we saw what happened in the Ohio State game when you had three guys that were in foul trouble at the end of the second half. Nebraska can ill afford that this time. If that is the case, as good as Bryce has been, I think it's going to be extremely difficult to overcome that type of foul trouble now with Berke out for this game. So for me, how this game is officiated early on, especially Maryland's first handful of possessions and the way Nebraska defends, how aggressive they are, but also how the game is officiated, I think is going to be maybe one of the biggest factors in tonight's matchup.
Well, and that is such a good point right off the bat, because you should be getting a lot of Andrew Morgan and Braxton Mia. And the last time these two teams played, Braxton Mia played less than 4 minutes. You're probably going to need 10 to 15 from him tonight. Andrew Morgan played 24 minutes. You're probably going to need at least that, at least, and then probably get closer to 30 for him. But you bring up the officiating at Pinnacle Bank Arena. The last 2 days that I have been there, a Husker men's game and a Husker women's game. In the men's game, you're right, the other day, Nebraska got into a lot of foul trouble early. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, there's not necessarily home calls happening. The next day, Nebraska women's basketball against Iowa, and it was the opposite, Nick. It was the opposite, to the point where I even posted on Twitter, Iowa fans have a reason to gripe about the officiating.
Yep.
Like it was so inconsistent that you did not understand how you could play defense, whether it was on the perimeter or inside. And that's what it was for the Nebraska men's basketball game the other day as well. Were you allowed to be extra physical on the perimeter, but it was kind of touch fouls inside? If you're Nebraska, you hope it is the exact opposite of that tonight. You hope you are allowed to be extra physical inside. Fine, let it be a little touchy on the outside. Let everyone run around, because hopefully then Bryce is drawing a bunch of fouls as well and getting to the free throw line. But what you cannot have without Berke Bjelken-Gjell in there is Andrew Morgan and or Braxton Mia in foul trouble early, to where you're going to have to go short and you're going to have Jawan Gary at the 5.
Right, right.
It is that seems like that's probably where you go with your small ball lineup, because Gavin Griffiths, I love him. I said all preseason, I was like, that is a dude who he can get the crowd going. You saw it in the non-conference. He takes a shot and the crowd gets a little energy. He's not big-bodied enough to go bang around inside with Derek Queen. He's just not that guy. Jawan Gary is only 6'6". That's living dangerously too. So the fouls are definitely one thing for Nebraska to watch, and the way this game is officiated early on. The other one, Nick, is if Nebraska can come out shooting well. They did last game. Shot 51.2% in both halves. That's consistency. But what you also have seen the last few games is the other team coming out on fire. Can Nebraska stem that a little bit as well?
No doubt. And that was the maybe the most encouraging thing on the road, to see Nebraska stay afloat with Washington. Even when we were watching that game thinking, if Nebraska could just stymie this or just cut it off a little bit there in the end of the first half, that they did.
Seven from deep.
It was ridiculous. But yet somehow they got them to come back down to right around 50%. I say come back down to around 50%. But the fact of the matter was Nebraska was right at 50, just a little bit above 50%. So they were steady right there. And you knew, as hot as Washington, we talked about this last week, Washington was completely bucking the trend of how they shot all year. So you knew the law of averages would kick in at some point in the game. Second half was the story where they were ice cold and Nebraska steady. They were absolutely steady offensively. And then, yeah, as you point out, against Ohio State, you get a couple of haymakers right out of the gate from Ohio State, and Nebraska is able to weather that offensively. Bryce doing what Bryce has been doing, Juwan Gary doing what he's been doing. Those two are obviously key, even with Burke out, whatever complimentary scoring you can get around those two. But it is vital that you have those types of nights from those guys, Juwan Gary especially. And then the other thing that I think is going to be huge tonight, we talk about that size advantage and you take a 6'10 guy out of the equation. You know, you still have Braxton, you still have Andrew Morgan. But if one of those guys is getting a spell, how is Nebraska going to still body up when it does come to defensive rebounding? Because that's the other thing that does worry me about this one. And it was a bit of a factor against Maryland out in College Park. And that was the second opportunities and extending possessions that Maryland was able to do. So, you know, you look at just the simple math of it. You take one of those big guys out, and then if somebody else, I don't think Braxton Mia can play every minute of this game. I don't think Andrew Morgan can play every minute of this game. So when you're taking some of those guys out, how are you still going to negate what Maryland is going to throw at you, where they have two, at sometimes three guys that are going to be taller than anybody you have on the floor? So there's a lot of concerns just from from block to block in this game, from the paint in this game. And if Maryland is having some success shooting the three ball, that's where obviously you do worry about Nebraska being able to stay up to pace defensively, being able to have that type of energy at the end, based on what I anticipate their guards having to do defensively, where they're going to be working inside and then trying to recover outside, much like we saw them do such a good job against Creighton. So it's a fascinating matchup. And I don't want to make it sound like I think Nebraska is going to lose this game. I just think, given the injury situation to Burke and the team you're playing with the type of size that they have, it presents a unique challenge. But what it also does is it gives Fred Hoiberg an opportunity to experiment a little bit with that small lineup, but also be very unpredictable. So, you know, you got to use that to your advantage, because right now Maryland's thinking, okay, how the heck are they going to try to defend us? How are they going to come at us offensively as well? I just think there's a lot of things that Fred Hoiberg can do, especially with having not one, but two point guards, having some different guys. Jacobson, who could have a small role or eat up a couple of minutes here and there to just try to spell some guys. There's a lot of different things that, let's just face it, you don't have an abundance of film on that Nebraska might throw at Maryland. That could actually work to Nebraska's favor.
Right. And last time these two played, by the way, Derek Queen, who has been on an absolute tear of late, he has been dominating. He had 3 points.
Yep.
All of those at the free throw line. He goes 0 for 4. Nebraska actually out-rebounded Maryland 36-32, had one more offensive rebound in the game as well. Maryland shot 40% from deep. Nebraska just 6 of 16. Here is where, and this goes a little bit to your first point, here is where I think Nebraska makes its hay in this ball game tonight. And it's not on the defensive end, because you're just going to have to deal with what you got. You're going to have to figure that out. Here is where Nebraska wins this game, because it is not where they won the game last time. Last time, Maryland shot 12 free throws, made 7. Nebraska shot 11 free throws, made 6. Nebraska wins this game if they can shoot 20 free throws. If you can get Bryce Williams and Juwan Gary and Connor Asijan and Raleigh Wooster to the line, Nebraska wins this basketball game tonight. And it's, you got to get to that 20 number. And Nebraska was doing that all through the non-con, and I realized you were way more athletic than your opponents. Mm-hmm. You were more athletic, you were bigger, you were stronger, all of those things. But for Nebraska to have success tonight, it's not going to be necessarily what happens on the defensive end. It's not going to be necessarily what happens from three-point land. It's going to be getting the guys to the free throw line and shooting them at a high percentage.
I think it's a great point. And I think it's definitely a factor because, again, going back to that game in College Park, Maryland, the lack of the Juwan Gary offensive presence was big. So yeah. How are you going to be creative? Okay, if the shots aren't falling early for Juwan Gary, the thing that I've liked lately, especially in that game against Illinois and even against Washington, is he became relentless. Zero hesitation inside. He was going right to the rim. And so if he wasn't seeing the ball fall in the cylinder, he was getting himself to the free throw line. That is something that I think is going to be a heavy emphasis. I think to your point, somehow at least finishing possessions, if not with a made basket, getting to the free throw line. That's where I think Bryce Williams, and even in the game he had against Maryland, 16 points isn't bad, and you can survive on that. I look at the way that they shot the three ball. I still think Nebraska can survive on six made three-pointers based on how they've won games. But it is, if you're gonna have that low of a number, to your point, that free throw attempt number needs to be up. And I think that's where Bryce has taken his game to another level, is he is finishing at the rim. He is drawing the contact, but he's doing it under control. He's not just going up, wishing on a prayer, hoping that he'll get a call and just throwing it at the top of the backboard. He actually has purpose getting to the rim. And I think Juwan Gary has also seen that to be another facet of his game offensively, that can get him going if he's not seeing shots fall early on. So those two parts of it, I think, absolutely are spot on. And then the other thing, when you do look at, okay, is there going to be a complimentary score? Gosh, at home in a game where you do need some extra offensive opportunities, wouldn't this just be a signature ideal night for Connor Asesian to have one of his heaters? I just think that he could be the X factor in this. If he's at 40% or above beyond the arc, I think that that's going to bode really, really well for Nebraska tonight.
In the latest bracketology from ESPN's Joe Lenardi, Nebraska part of the last four byes. So in the tournament, not headed to Dayton. Maryland, a six seed. So a chance when you're looking at the way bracketology is looking at this, a chance to move up. Because that's kind of where things are right now. You can see all of the net ranking is garbage. Let's get that out of the way. But Ken Pom and a lot of these other metrics, there's a chance to move up. And when you're looking at where a lot of these places have their seed lines, there's a chance to move up. That's what this game is. And it is a ranked opponent, which means if Nebraska were to win, this would be a school record for wins over ranked opponents in a single season. Think about that from where this team was on a six-game losing streak to now this heater and a chance to set a school record for a good thing. For a very good thing. That game, 7:30 tonight. Also want to mention women's basketball has actually kind of gone the other way. They've lost a few in a row. They are at number 17, Maryland. So kind of splitting the fan bases between College Park and Lincoln. But, Nick, they've struggled a little bit in the first trying to deal with the loss of Natalie Potts and then the loss of Allison Widener. And just not really having enough of that guard and wing play that you need in this Big Ten.
Well, and with the five games, it's crazy to think, too, they only have five games remaining before you get into conference play. You feel like this is where the men were not that long ago, where you're searching for answers, you're looking at your bench, there's very little answers. And unlike the men, Amy Williams, her hands are tied a little bit because of what you mentioned with Potts and Widener not being available. So my whole feeling of this team, and right now I kind of look like a moron because they're going the other way with this, was as this team continued to play throughout the stretch of Big Ten games, that you were going to see them get a lot more used to the lineups that they have right now. And even, a freshman like Britt Prince, a lot of the game would begin to slow down a little bit. And she's had a couple of rough nights, which, again, I don't think anybody should say, oh, well, maybe she's not as good as we thought. No, she's still a freshman. Okay, she's still going to have those moments. But it is that opportunity when you see these teams get into the Big Ten tournament, that how are you playing going into it? Because once you get into that tournament, it's matchup based. I mean, we all know that. And so for me, and when I think of when Nebraska made that exciting run losing to Iowa in the Big Ten championship the previous year, was the way that Nebraska went in, the confidence that they had, and really the confidence they had that if they had to go up against big, bad Iowa, that they could take them down because they'd already beat them in the regular season. Exactly. They, you know, they have that confidence. So with this team, and I think there's a similarity. There's a commonality with this, the men's team as well. The men's team, they're not overly gifted offensively, but what they're doing right now is they're making the most of those offensive possessions that they get. But the other thing, and this was a thing that Fred called them out, maybe not called them out, but this is one of the things that he saw a lot, was it wasn't a lack of effort with them, but it was the toughness when it came to the 50-50 balls. Now, what are we seeing Nebraska doing in that come from behind victory against Washington and that game against Ohio State? More than anything, guys are on the floor. Guys are, I mean, they're going after the loose ball. They're winning the 50-50s. So there's a lot of the correction there, but those are little things where you don't have to be this overly gifted, talented team. And I think for the women's basketball team right now, you know, one of the big issues, if you look at their most recent losses against Iowa, is they get out to such a big lead. One of your biggest advantages is being able to go inside to Alexis Markowski. Well, you have to kind of scrap that because you're chasing so many points and you're trying to get bigger possessions. That's where this team is really shorthanded. So I just think that from the confidence standpoint, much like the men, they got out of it. Now, all of a sudden, they're playing with confidence, even being down a player. I'm really curious to see how they react tonight. Same with the women. If they can just get that one win, much like Nebraska men were able to do against Illinois and feed off of that, I think they still have a lot of runway to put themselves into that good headspace going into the Big Ten tournament.
Nebraska at Maryland, women's game 5:30. Nebraska men hosting Maryland 7:30. Both on Big Ten Network tonight. You've got a doubleheader. So if the women's game runs long, we get to blame ourselves. That's always what we do, is, oh, these games are never going to get over in time. We get to blame ourselves. So the Nebraska-Maryland doubleheader starting at 5:30, second game at 7:30 on Big Ten Network.